The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Do you know what skin tags are? Anyway, a friend of mine said he could get them off way cheaper than some dumb doctor. And I've got a ton of them, which would be real expensive. So I went over to his house, and he pulled out some dental floss and wrapped it around each of the tags, and ouch! It hurt like heck! And now they're all infected! Speaking of infected, and now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Oh, hello. Folks, I'm continuing my conversation with the Irish journalists Phelim McAleer and Anne McElhenney. And I love talking to the two of you, but I never know where to start because there's so many wonderful topics. They're all related to the idea that you're trying to tell the truth in creative ways. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about this play that you're doing. It's going to be at CPAC, which is in Washington, D.C., February 27th on the main stage. And you've created a play from the actual verbatim texts between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok.
But also their closed-door congressional questioning where they were asked about these texts.
Okay. Grilled in detail.
So this is not made up. There's not much art involved except in trying to create a narrative from what's there.
A story.
But it's some of it is, I mean, all of it is related to their attempted coup d'etat.
Okay, political shenanigans. Let's that.
But some of it, because the two of them are having this illicit affair, obviously they're both married to other people, and professionally they're very close, and so they have this affair. So it's kind of creepy that in these texts you have all this kind of lovey-dovey stuff. And you were saying, Phelim, that sometimes the audience gets uncomfortable because we're listening into something.
We were talking earlier about, you know, what should we be making fun of their private texts? You know, you talked about making fun of Nancy Pelosi's appearance and then regretting it. Luckily enough, I mean, the texts that were released are only political. The political one. There's just some romantic stuff attached to these texts that has to go along with it. And I think, you know, if I got all their texts, all their lovey-dovey texts, I would be reluctant. It's hard to know, and you know, you always think you're more principled than you are. I don't think I would put in all the texts, all their private stuff, because, you know, how relevant is it to the story? But also, the audience wouldn't like it. The audience would feel like they need a shower after listening to someone's private romantic text.
Well, see, now you say that, but I think that there are always people who want this garbage. I mean, when you think of, you know, whether it's The Sun in the UK or whatever, this kind of tabloid gossipy stuff, unfortunately, there's always an audience for that. There's an audience for pornography. There's an audience for all kinds of stuff that people ought not to be spending money for or giving their time.
It's complicated. I mean, see, it's changing now because when I started this, they were basically private citizens. Okay, they were very high in the FBI and very powerful people and doing bad things, but they were basically had no public profile. Then Strzok gave his famous, you know, testimony to Congress. Now they're giving interviews on the media. And you can't, this thing of, you know, oh, Greta Thunberg, we have to listen to her because she's a child. Greta Thunberg, you can't criticize her because she's a child. There's this thing of, oh, Strzok and Page, we have to respect their privacy. Oh, Strzok and Page, we have to listen to them on every public forum there is. You can't cherry pick your privacy rights. If you give away your privacy, you give away your privacy. That doesn't mean I'm going to use, I wouldn't use all their texts, but I'm just saying they're out now. They're claiming, they're talking about the text. They're talking about their relationship. That opens the door
now,
for
why,
me.
First of all, why do you think they're doing that? Did somebody you think advise them legally that way to get ahead of this narrative is to talk about it?
They're fearing indictments.
So that's right. So they're, yes, they're fearing indictments, and is there a chance they will be indicted by what is the report that's coming out, the IG report?
Yeah, no, not the IG, the criminal investigation.
I'm sorry, the criminal investigation.
Strzok and Page, Strzok maybe, Page maybe not so much, but they're fearing severe consequences of this.
What could be severe consequence? I don't quite...
Well, they've been fired and they're unemployable. And when a criminal report comes out, let's say there's a grand jury testimony, maybe they lied in some of their texts, the 30,000 that haven't been released. We haven't got their emails.
But they don't have a right to lie in private texts?
No, but in their work emails.
In their work emails. This is their work product. This is them using the government issued.
But also maybe they lied. Maybe they discussed a conspiracy on their phones. We don't know any of that, right? It hasn't been released. So I know that Comey is trying to get out ahead. That's why he's on Twitter being America's greatest hero and writing these books and all. They fear indictments because they were up to no good. They were lying and, they were plotting and planning, and they lied in the FISA applications to spy on Americans. They had honey traps. They had, you know...
Let me ask you about the FISA thing. We know that what they did was wrong. This is to put it mildly, okay? But I was fascinated by this judge said that the FBI has to come up with a way to avoid this in the future. I thought that's like going to a bank robber and saying, now, we're not going to put you in jail, but we'd like you and your, you know, confreres to come up with a way of preventing yourselves from doing this again. And yeah. I thought the way to prevent people from doing this is by putting them in jail,
yes,
when they do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was just stunned.
Yeah. No, this is America. There's a two-tier justice system. You know, you lie to the FBI, you go to jail. Roger Stone goes to prison. They lie to you. They get a bonus for solving the problem they created.
Well, who can solve this problem? I mean, this is America. It seems to me that we still do have the rule of law. We still have freedom. Whose job is it to solve this problem?
Well, this is why we're doing FBI Lovebirds, actually.
People need to know. I mean, I think that we need to start by having people made aware of exactly what these people were saying to each other about the president, about the fact that they really, really wanted Hillary Clinton to be the president. And is that a problem? I think it's a problem. I think it's a major problem if you have the FBI
plotting
in the tank for one of the candidates that they're plotting for the other
one. Well, look, let's face it. It is not the job of the FBI to have anything to do with presidential elections.
You need to
this
tell,
is not why they are being paid.
Somebody needs to tell Lisa Page and Peter Strzok that. And that's why we're putting this up on the stage, main stage of CPAC. There's going to be 3,000 people in the main hall. But actually, our real audience is the 600-plus journalists from all over the world who've been credentialed to cover CPAC. And they don't know, either they don't know anything about Strzok and Page, or B, they've bought into the left-wing talking points that it were right is obsessed with sex and this is gossip. And it's not. It's a serious political play.
Well, I have to believe that there are people out there who are still open-minded. They might hate the president. They might be politically liberal. But there are people out there nonetheless who believe in the rule of law, who believe in due process, who believe that the FBI is supposed to be above partisan politics, yeah, and that there has to be a price to pay. I mean, I say this because if we don't all stand up for what is right, as you said earlier, it will come to get us eventually. In other words, people may say, well, I like it because it's hurting Trump. Well, it will hurt your
guy, exactly,
or your woman. We have to stand for
certain
rules.
Well, also, by the way, this has really hurt the FBI. And actually, if one of the, you know, when we had the original staging of this in DC, the first one, we had FBI agents come to us and say, they came to the performance and said they're disgusted, they're heartbroken after giving a lifetime of service to the FBI, that the highest levels of the FBI have brought the whole institution into disrepair, into disrepute. And also, it's an issue, you know, when you think about, you know, ordinary citizens around the country who become aware of wrongdoing and in the past would have thought, I'm going to phone the FBI, I'm going to phone the local FBI and get them to talk to you. Now, they could literally say to themselves, I'm not sure I want to talk to the FBI because these guys, this is incredible the way these guys operate. Because we've heard how they operate now and we don't like what we've heard and I don't think the public will like.
I have read the text messages. I have read the IG reports. Many people haven't. If the FBI knocked on my door tomorrow and said, look, your next door neighbour, we think, is stockpiling explosives. We need to talk to you. Yeah. We need to hear all, you know, we need to know everything you know. We need to even use your backyard as a staging post. I would say, get off my property.
Yeah, you don't trust them because they may be setting a trap for you. We're out of time.
FBILovebirds.com.
FBILovebirds.com. There are people out there who ought to and will give money. This is crowd funding, FBILovebirds.com. Ann and Phelim, thank you.
Thank you.
Look no further than the Iowa caucus debacle for an example of a system set up to run smoothly, but when one unexpected variable goes wrong, the result is utter chaos. For the U.S. economy, the spread of the coronavirus looks like the most logical impending threat to create chaos and potentially destabilize the economy in the months to come. That's a devastating risk if you're heavy in stocks with no safeguard. Wise investors know to hedge against stock market collapse by utilizing physical precious metals. Noble Gold is a leader in this conservative financial strategy, offering extensive education, patient counsel, and expert guidance by phone. Whether you're a new collector of rare coins or a seasoned investor looking to diversify your portfolio, there's an analyst waiting to talk to you and provide you with a free gold investor's guide. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to learn more or call 877-646-5347 right now. That's 877-646-5347. Dial now.
How would you like to get 1 ounce of pure silver absolutely free? This is not a joke. Right now, if you go to getmysilver.com, Gold Co., the premier name in precious metals, will send you a free 1 ounce silver American Eagle coin, and all you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. That's it. No further obligation. This same coin sells for more than $20 online, but you can get one right now for free. Just pay for shipping and handling. Now, there's a limit of one per household, and at this price, you know how long this offer will last. So don't wait. If you want to get your free 1 ounce silver American Eagle, simply go to getmysilver.com right now. That's getmysilver.com to get your free 1 ounce silver American Eagle. Don't delay. Go to getmysilver.com. Getmysilver.com. That's getmysilver.com to get your free 1 ounce silver American Eagle. Getmysilver.com.
Sponsored by Bonner & Partners, LLC. Text and data rates may apply.
If you've been keeping an eye on the market, then you know that 5G technology is set to take over the telecommunications sector at any minute. High-speed internet that's 100 times faster than anything available now, powerful enough to enable companies to finally realize the potential of self-driving cars, remote surgery, plus internet access fast enough to download entire movies in just a couple of seconds. The company that manufactures the key component that powers the 5G revolution is the cornerstone of the Near Future Report by analyst Jeff Brown that shows you the top tech stocks that will help you to invest in the early stages of the 5G revolution. Text the word tech to 76280 now to get the Near Future Report. We'll send you a link to your free video presentation directly to your mobile device or computer. Get in on the ground floor of this 5G revolution with the Near Future Report. You'll learn about the device that every American will need in the early stages of 5G. Text tech to 76280 to see the Near Future Report. Text the word tech to 76280.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. We make the Solaire Infrared Grills, those amazing gas grills that heat up to over 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes to provide professional chef quality performance in your own backyard. Now, you won't find them in the big box stores. Solaire is sold only by the finest specialty retailers who recognize Solaire as the only real hot, fast grill. If you live in an area without a Solaire dealer, Solaire has the demo program where you can try a mini version of a full-size grill in your own backyard, grilling the foods you love. It's made with the same design, materials, components, and performance of the big Solaires, but in a size Solaire can easily ship to you. Try before you buy so you'll know firsthand why Solaire is the last grill you'll ever purchase. Learn more about the demo program and these fantastic USA-made grills at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com.
Hey, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock and roll feeling in your bones. Put taps on your toes and get gone, get a rhythm. When you get the blues.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I have a special treat, as promised. Denise McAllister is on the program. Denise is, in my opinion, a hero. She says stuff that other people don't say. The new book, brand new book, is What Men Want to Say to Women But Can't. Denise McAllister, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, this is such important stuff, and there are very few women writing about this, if any. It's like the thing that I'll have conversations with women who will maybe say these kinds of things, but they'll write books on other things, whatever. It's rare that you get a book like this. So I've just got to ask you from the outset, what made you – what's your background, first of all, and what made you write this book? Maybe we should just talk about how you got here.
Well, my background is years of being a journalist, but also having steeped myself in theological studies. So it's kind of a fusion of both my journalistic history and my love for scripture and the Christian worldview to really bring that to what's going on in our society today, especially the relationships between men and women.
Yeah.
And the damage that modern feminism has done
right
to those relationships. And the way that we are denigrating masculinity when we should be celebrating it.
Well, I was going to say, like, because I'm a Christian and because I believe what the Bible says, I believe that God treasures men and treasures women. And whenever you get into the zero-sum game, that in order for women to become more powerful, men have to become less powerful, you say, whoa, 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 whoa. That is a lie from the pit of hell. When men are blessed, women get blessed. And when women get blessed, men get blessed. But we're living in a culture that profoundly doesn't understand that. And so you've been one of the folks that, you know, I follow on Twitter, and you write about this kind of thing. You're now you're married, you've got a bunch of kids, so this is not theory for you.
Oh, no, no. This is a lifetime of experience and really paying attention to that relationship and to men, starting with my father. My mother was very respectful to my father, and I grew up in a military town outside of Jacksonville, North Carolina, outside of Camp Lejeune, at the end of Vietnam War. So I guess I had a very unique situation where I saw the aftermath of war up close as a young, sensitive child, female. And I saw the abuse from it as well, and which may sound strange that I'm supporting masculinity, which was usually called toxic.
Well, yeah, you saw both sides of it, because men, like women, are fallen sinners. And so, yeah, you can see beautiful, godly masculinity, or you can see fallen, sinful masculinity. That's, I mean, exactly.
Yes, and you can see the need of it and the struggles in our society and the tension that is between men and women, and also just the threats we have in society now and how we really need strong men. There's something unique about masculinity that's God-designed, that our society and its hostility toward God is now hostile against masculinity. And don't think that for a minute that there is a disconnect between hatred of God and hatred of man.
I've actually talked about this myself. I don't know if I've talked about it much on the air, but privately over the years, it seems very clear to me that part of what has happened since the 50s, this radical turning upside down of reality, is a war against God. And when you go to war against God, you go to war against everything he represents and has put together. So you hate what he loves. And if his son was a man, the first thing you want to do is denigrate men. And if his son was a Jew, you probably want to be anti-Semitic. It's kind of an interesting correlation.
Well, and it's also an attack on the image of God in man. And that's why the attack on masculinity is also fundamentally an attack on femininity. I mean, the core evil of society that we have from Satan is the spiritual warfare that you've spoken about that's very real, is an attack. Satan hates humanity because of that image of God in us. And the perversion that we get in our society against this and of it is something we need to be wary of and know what's really happening. And also within the context of the subjectivism, like you said, that we really have abandoned objective truth, so an objective reality. And in doing that, we abandon God's design and purposes for men and women. And that's one of the things that I write about in this book is purpose. This book is not about what roles you should fill. I don't talk about that. I talk about what is your purpose as men and as women as designed by God, and the roles come out of that.
And it's interesting what you say. You say that an attack on masculinity is an attack on femininity. In other words, what is happening, I guess, I want you to explain it to me, but that is that what feminism, the feminism of today has done is that it's not just against men, it's against feminine women. It's against God's idea of women.
Yeah, it's a distortion and a degradation of God's design for the sexes and for sexuality. And it started, like many things, out of something good. The desire for equality in our society, political equality,
right,
with feminism was a good thing. But what happened a lot, which we also saw happen with the Black Civil Rights Movement, is the desire for equal rights before the law has now transformed into a desire and a demand for equal outcomes. It has now become a Marxist movement rather than an ideological conservative principled of liberty,
so
American
important.
American movement. And so whether it's civil rights going on, and you see it also now with the upcoming homosexual conflicts that we have, also with feminism, is we're not talking about equality as we originally understood it by our founders.
Right.
We are now talking about a Marxist frame of equal outcomes.
Right.
And the problem is that for to have equal outcomes, you have to have everyone the same. But here's the rub. You know, men and women are not the same. We are not equal in that way. So we're not going to have equal outcomes. This has been a core frustration for modern feminists. This is why they're so angry all the time. Seriously, it's why they're angry, because they want the same things that men have. They want the same outcomes in professions, in academics, in finances. They want it all to be purely equal.
Yeah.
They want their stuff. They want their status. And, you know, some women individually get it, but I'm talking about a general,
right,
broad, you know, taken all in one big picture. And when they haven't had it and they see the equal outcomes, they say, well, it must be man's fault. You are a bunch of sexist, misogynist pigs, and you're,
right,
keeping women down by the,
right,
patriarchy.
Right.
It's your fault that we're not succeeding. Women are not taking into account. No, the reason why you're having different outcomes is because women are making different choices. Women have different abilities. Women have different strengths. And so what you see here is that the feminist experiment was originally to make women more like men.
See, that's the key.
They
in
failed.
Other words, if you want to be the enemy of women, which is what feminism has become, you try to erase womanhood and femininity and make them in the image of men, which is grotesque. It's a violation of femininity. We know it's a violation of God's order. But it is also, as you're saying, fundamentally frustrating, because if you're a woman trying to become a man in terms of outcomes or his definition of success or the world's definition of success, of course you're set up to fail, because you're trying to be something that you're never intended to be, because you have rejected God's idea of femininity, his idea of success for you. But we are really in the middle of that right now.
Well, and his idea of what your purpose is and where you are fulfilled fundamentally as a man and as a woman, as a human being. But we've lost sight of that, because everything's subjective. Everything's whatever I want myself to be. And there's no taking into account objective design of who I am as a human being and who I am as a woman, or you as a man, and how those work complementary. And how they're both beautiful when they're respected, and real love and mutual affection is fostered and trust between the sexes, which we've lost, and inevitably we will lose it when we have a Marxist frame.
Now,
because
when you
everything's
say a Marxist,
everything's about the struggle.
Right. When you say a Marxist frame, I want to talk about that, because I know that you're right about it, and that you put your finger on the main issue here. And so I want my audience really to kind of begin to see how this works. When we talk about Marxism, Marxism used to be about economic outcomes. Mm-hmm. Now, cultural Marxism is basically trying to take over all of reality. And so explain that. In other words, what is cultural Marxism and how does it affect this issue?
Well, progressives will say that cultural Marxism is a myth, that it's a fabrication of our minds. It actually isn't. Economically, Marxism is a struggle between basically the haves and have-nots, that there's always this constant struggle for power. You have the groups that have dominance, and then you have the sub-marginalized groups. They fight for power. Then you have a reversal. Once they gain power, then another group comes along. So life is a constant warring between two groups for power. That's the in economics, it's for money and for status. But this has now been seeped in through into the culture mindset with a lot of German philosophies.
Well, now we have to say the reason that happened principally is because it failed economically. In other words, if the Soviet Union had, you know, done spectacularly well, if Soviet-style Marxism had succeeded, they wouldn't really have had to shift over. But the utter failure of economic Marxism didn't mean Marxism went away. It kind of went underground and emerged now as something equally hideous called cultural Marxism. We're going to go to a break. I'm talking to Denise McAllister. The brand new book, What Men Want to Say to Women But Can't. Grab a copy. We'll be right back.
Was the place we'd meet, second seat, gold Dutch treat, you were sweet, dark as...
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Chinese authorities are reportedly using a new methodology to categorize cases of the coronavirus. As a result, the daily number of confirmed cases and deaths are much higher. The latest update, more than 15,000 new virus cases and 254 deaths. The Senate has passed an Iran War Powers Resolution. It's opposed by President Trump and aims to rein in his ability to use military action against Iran without congressional approval. The White House has issued a veto threat against it. Students are staying home from school and several businesses are closed in the upper Midwest as Arctic air pushes wind chill readings to more than 40 degrees below zero in some areas. Meanwhile, days of torrential rain across the southeast has left residents to deal with rising rivers, falling trees, and mudslides. The Dow is down 88 points. The NASDAQ is off 2 points. This is SRN News.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-506-5493. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-506-5493 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-506-5493 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-506-5493.
Folks, let me ask you, where does the profit from your cup of coffee go? Pete and Seth Talbot, the owners of Relief Factor, have just started something called Honor Bound Coffee, and they've committed 100% of their profits to serve and bless military families. It's not an occasional or token gift. It's 100% of the profits. And believe me, this is premium coffee at a great price. All you coffee lovers and experts are going to love this coffee. But you'll know that with every cup of medium, dark roast, or decaf honor-bound coffee, you'll be helping military families who serve with honor and protect us day after day, year after year. And to get started, Pete and Seth are offering on your first order, buy two bags of honor-bound coffee for the price of one. So please stand with Pete and Seth and me and all of us here at Salem. Go to honorboundcoffee.com, not just the best coffee available. The top 1% and honor-bound is coffee with a purpose. Give your family great coffee and give back to our military. HonorBoundCoffee.com. Is this not terrific? I got to tell you, I can't wait. folks. I listen to this program just to hear the Bee Gees. But I also get to talk to really interesting people. Denise McAllister is my guest today. The new book, What Men Want to Say to Women But Can't. Denise, there is so much here. We're going to take the time to unpack all this. Right now we're talking about cultural Marxism. So keep going with that.
Well, like you were saying, economics, Marxist economics did not work because people are different. And so people began to say, well, there must be something institutionally wrong with our society. There must be inequality at the very root of our society,
right,
that isn't fair. And so whether you see it through race or in the sexes, whatever the conflict is between the groups, there must be some insidious power group that is keeping everyone else down. And, of course, that power group in America are basically straight white men. And you are the power group because you've been the quote-unquote privileged group for so long.
Right, right.
And so you must be brought down in order for women to succeed because you had your place in the sun for way too long.
Okay, now let's just to review, though. So what we're talking about, this lie of Marxism, economically the lie is that in terms of wealth, we have a zero-sum game, mm-hmm, that there's a certain amount of wealth and that some people have too much and we need to redistribute it to those who don't have enough. Okay, now that's a lie because wealth is not static. You can grow wealth or you can diminish wealth. But what we're talking about now is the same thing. We say that there's an equal amount of power and that for women to get power, men need to lose power. So it's a zero-sum game story, which you and I know is a complete lie. We have said that the more women are blessed, the more men will be blessed, and the more men will be blessed. But they say no. It's somebody has to lose in order for somebody to win. They are focused on this idea of a zero sum game with the races and with everything. And I just want people to understand that that's at the heart of this lie. And when I say it's a lie, it doesn't mean we disagree with it. We mean it's fundamentally wrong. It kicks against reality.
It's evil.
And it's evil.
It is. And there is no loving reciprocity in Marxist cultural mindset. There is just power. It's a power dynamic. And so these feminists, you know, feminism in America, when it moved from equality before the law to equal outcomes, they found that they failed. Because, again, you're not the same. You're going to have a whole kind of different choices, different abilities. So there's not going to be this equality, this gender parity that we expect in professions and politics.
And you're saying that's where this anger comes from.
It's where the anger comes from, and it's where the resentment comes from and the bitterness. So this attempt for women to be equal and the same to men failed. And so now you're hearing a rise of, you know, the future is female. It's all about women. Women need to be represented. There's too many men. We need equal amount of men, women and men. But I think it's even more insidious than this. It is a bringing men down to become more feminized. So the effort to make women more masculinized failed. So now we're going to attempt to make men more feminized. And
go ahead.
You really see this. You actually see it with the Psychological Association, and it's reconstructing masculinity, which is a real thing that's going on out there, and making men more sensitive in a feminist way. And again, as Christians, you and I know that a man, a good godly man, is a man who's gentle, who's loving, who's sacrificial. But those aren't necessarily feminine traits. Those are good traits. Those are godly traits. It's righteousness. And a good man is a strong man. He's not just a man who's all nice all the time. And I think one of the biggest attacks on masculinity today is for men to be nice.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. Jesus wasn't nice when he flipped over the stinking tables in the temple and he used a whip. He made the whip. I find that funny. He made the whip to drive them out. And I think today we would just say, he's obviously just an angry white male without access to his anger medication. And yet we Christians say, no, that is the second person of the Trinity acting perfectly. Today we would say, no, that's toxic masculinity. He needs to chill out and be nice. And where did we get this idea that niceness is the summum bonum of human reality?
Because we live, I think there's a couple of reasons for this. we live in a very feminized society, and it's not just because of feminism. One is because of feminism and the push for that kind of ideology. But the other is the very essence of our society technologically. The ease and leisure of our society has created a soft society. And that a soft society coupled with this Marxist marginalized mindset that, you know, I'm being kept down because of someone else's power structure makes people feel entitled. So when you put a bunch of people in a soft, entitled society, you have children. That's what you have. You have children looking for mommy to make everything better and
okay.
everything sweet.
Now, what you're saying, this is so important. I just, as I say, I want to unpack this stuff. Really interesting. I watch Turner Classic Movies a lot because you often see movies from another time that really show you what life was like in a more normal world where men were men and women were women. And there's something very beautiful and inspiring about it. I just watched a tremendous Western. I'd never even seen it before with Gregory Peck called The Gunslinger, I think, or The Gunfighter. And it was amazing because it shows exactly what you're talking about. A man's man who is everything you'd want in a man. In other words, he's not feminized. He's not weak. He's all these things. We're going to go to a break here. Forgive me, folks. I'm talking to Denise McAllister. The book is What Men Want to Say to Women But Can't. Hey, folks. Eric Metaxas here. There's something you all need to know about Relief Factor and about Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son owners. As you know, they're on a real mission to help as many people as possible get out of pain, and they've been a consistent sponsor of the show for several years. In radio, sponsors come and go. They may even stay for a year or so. It sounds like they're doing super, and then they're gone. Well, not so with Relief Factor. Pete and Seth are consistent year after year, and that's because tens of thousands of people are now taking Relief Factor every day for their back and neck pain. I'm one of them. Shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain. And they are now in less or no pain at all. All these people, it's as simple as that. It works. That's why I've joined Pete and Seth on their mission to help you get out of pain today. And the first step is to order the 3-week quick start pack for $19.95. If you're still skeptical, remember, it's not just me. There are tens of thousands of other nice people who would happily tell you to give it a try. It can be done. It could be at your door in just 2 to 3 days. Go to relieffactor.com. Remember, relieffactor.com. It works. It works.
Coming to theaters for one day only. Patterns of Evidence, The Red Sea Miracle.
My first question as a geographer is, where was the sea that was parted and crossed?
For nearly two decades, investigative filmmaker Timothy Mahoney has been searching for evidence of one of the Bible's most epic miracles, the parting of the Red Sea.
We're talking about a miraculous event of unprecedented proportion, of God's saving power.
The Red Sea Miracle, part one in theaters for one day only on February 18. Get tickets today at patternsofevidence.com/Red Sea.
Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. If you are a timeshare owner, getting out is probably a top priority. And now that the annual maintenance fees are right around the corner, this ongoing burden and expense is at the top of your list. Let us do for you what we have done for thousands of others. Our process is done legally, ethically, and quickly. Don't let another day go by with maintenance fees taking your hard-earned money. Give us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863 or online at lonestartransfer.com.
Look no further than the Iowa caucus debacle for an example of a system set up to run smoothly, but when one unexpected variable goes wrong, the result is utter chaos. For the U.S. economy, the spread of the coronavirus looks like the most logical impending threat to create chaos and potentially destabilize the economy in the months to come. That's a devastating risk if you're heavy in stocks with no safeguard. Wise investors know to hedge against stock market collapse by utilizing physical precious metals. Noble Gold is a leader in this conservative financial strategy, offering extensive education, patient counsel, and expert guidance by phone. Whether you're a new collector of rare coins or a seasoned investor looking to diversify your portfolio, there's an analyst waiting to talk to you and provide you with a free gold investor's guide. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to learn more or call 877-646-5347 right now. That's 877-646-5347. Dial now.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric from Taxes Show. I'm talking to Denise McAllister, the brand new book, What Men Want to Say to Women But Can't. Denise, I was just kind of going off on my thing about watching these Westerns on Turner Classic Movies and realizing that because it was a frontier society, people had to be tough. And what you said earlier, this is like an epiphany for me on one level, is that you're saying that because we've become a wealthy culture, because we don't have to fight Native Americans, because we don't have to deal with the elements, because we don't have to, you know, duke out like a life on the frontier, effectively, we have become soft. And to be soft is to be feminized. And when you have a whole culture that is feminized, it's unhealthy. But I never really thought of that, you know, when people say it's the culture has become feminized, that that's the reason. That's a big insight.
Well, it's a huge reason, fundamentally, and then to have the overlay of feminism come onto that and say that feminism, women are better. You can see how that's kind of a perfect storm for society. And to teach young people that you need to be more feminized and life, this is why you need safe spaces. This is why we have a soft, fearful society. You know, you're not instructed in the strength of masculinity like you should be. We try to do it, and we have many contrived ways that men try to initiate men into you know, the hardships of life. But that's one thing, even with girls, the role of dad is a hard role. The role of the masculine in our society is to teach responsibility. Mom teaches love, and dad teaches responsibility. And not that there isn't an interchangeable aspect to that, but that's a primary, given the way that they were designed by God, that dad comes along and says, you know, you need to toughen up for life. And it's hard because sometimes that makes us not like dad too much. It's easy to hate the masculine because it challenges us. It brings us out of our comfort zones. It causes anxiety. It causes tension. And it causes tension in every sphere, professionally, in intimacy, in homes, that tension between the masculine and feminine, which when they're working together properly in raising people up out of, you know, this protective sphere and into the world, but yet still maintaining love, then you have healthy human beings. But we don't have that right now. We have a push toward feminization and maternal mindset, and we're abandoning and being hostile to the masculine and hating it and resenting it. And you see it everywhere. It's like, how dare you have strength? There's an anger that comes also with the equal outcomes not being attained, but also you're pushing me. You're pushing me in a way that I don't like. It makes me feel uncomfortable. And we're all about comfort now. And, you know, I don't know what's going to change, you know, on the big scale to really make us be more aware of the softness that our society has become. But we need to understand these dynamics that are going on and push back against them, because it is weakening people and not teaching us how to be strong, free people. And honestly, if we're going to live in a free society, we have to live in a society where people understand the hardships of life, because freedom is messy. Freedom is hard. Freedom is not an entitlement. Freedom does not have safe spaces. Freedom means you are uncomfortable with what other people say and what other people do, and that you're offended all the time. That's what liberty looks like. And liberty is also something you have to fight for all the time. You know, so it's often because of evil out there, is being challenged. Because, again, evil likes to have humanity in cages. And so we need, desperately, we need masculinity to teach us strength, perseverance, and, you know, responsibility in this world in which we carry out our love for our fellow human beings, but we do it in a responsible way that's aware of objective reality and the purposes that God has called us to love one another in a real way.
It seems to me that, you know, by talking about this, and again, the book is What Men Want to Say to Women But Can't, we're talking about everything. It's an amazing thing because we are created in the image of God. So when you start talking about what it means to be made in the image of God, male and female, created he, them, suddenly you're talking about God and the nature of all of reality. It's inescapable. It's not. We're not just talking about relations between the sexes. We're talking about everything.
Well, that's because it's fundamental. Yeah. I mean, it's foundational to everything else. I mean, I go in the final chapter of my book is more philosophical than the rest of it, and I talk about this kind of construct of identity. And we're really having an identity crisis in America. We don't know who we are. The only thing that we know of who we are is whatever we want to be. It's not the reality of who we are, but it's our dreams and our fantasies that make up what we want to be in our identity. But we need to get back to what is our identity as God designed us? What is the reality and not the fantasy of our identity? And fundamental to that is understanding our humanity and how we are made in God's image and our purpose to love and to, you know, seek dominance over this world in a healthy way and to spread his light in this world. All the commonality that we have with human beings. But on top of that is another layer, or actually underneath that umbrella, is our sexuality. And there's only two sexes. Our sexuality.
What? How dare you? This is a family program. We cannot say those things. Now, don't you find it on one level, like on one level, it's grotesque and horrific. On the other level, it's hilarious that we're living in a time suddenly where there are people challenging the idea that there could be anything but two sexes. I mean, the day a rooster lays an egg, I will have this conversation. Until that time, I don't know how to take it seriously.
Well, this is the logical consequence of subjective mindsets.
Right.
I say in my book that we live in the tyranny of subjectivism. That is the tyranny that we're facing today.
But what's at the root of that? Now, how did we get to this idea that I can be anything I want to be, which is really stupid? I mean, if I want to be, you know, a decathlete in 1976 in the Olympics, I can't. That's reality, right? 1976 is over, and God didn't give me the body of a decathlete to win in the Olympics. I mean, why are people just insisting somehow that through sheer will they can do and become anything? Like, where do we get these ideas?
That's the only option you have when you've rejected objective truth.
Right.
It is the only thing you have.
I guess that's right.
And when you reject, when you remove God, intelligent design, a theistic worldview from your identity, then you are only left with subjective powers and individual subjectivism that is warring with all the rest of everyone's individual truths. Because think about it. If you get rid of objective truth that binds us all together, a truth out there between you and me that we both attain to know and to live by, if that's removed and my truth is all that's real, well, that means your truth is all that's real. So how in community do we live with one another?
Right.
The only way is for one to exert power over the other.
Right.
There is not this just equal coexistence of your truth, my truth. We see that every day in the news.
It has led to, the only way to put it is to call it madness. It's called madness. We're going to be right back talking to Denise McAllister, brand new book, What Men Want to Say to Women But Can't.
How would you like to get 1 ounce of pure silver absolutely free? This is not a joke. Right now, if you go to getmysilver.com, Goldco, the premier name in precious metals, will send you a free 1 ounce silver American Eagle coin, and all you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. That's it. No further obligation. This same coin sells for more than $20 online, but you can get one right now for free. Just pay for shipping and handling. Now, there's a limit of one per household, and at this price, you know how long this offer will last. So don't wait. If you want to get your free 1 ounce silver American Eagle, simply go to getmysilver.com right now. That's getmysilver.com to get your free 1 ounce silver American Eagle. Don't delay. Go to getmysilver.com. Getmysilver.com. That's getmysilver.com to get your free 1 ounce silver American Eagle. Getmysilver.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow says China should be welcoming help from the U.S. public health responders concerning the coronavirus, but they're not.
This should not be about politics or, for that matter, trade. This is just plain, ordinary health, public health, help people.
U.S. officials have announced the country's 15th confirmed case of the virus in Texas. In the U.S. Senate today,
the yeas are 55, the nays are 45. The joint resolution, as amended, is passed.
Republican Senator Todd Young, presiding over the Senate, announces the passage of a war powers measure limiting President Trump's authority to launch military operations against Iran. The House could take up the Senate resolution later this month. Two-thirds vote in the House and GOP-run Senate would both be needed to override an expected veto by the president. This is SRN News.
Bastian Gorka here. Maybe you've been hearing about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that helps a person's body deal with inflammation and pain. You've heard all the wonderful testimonials. Well, I have my own testimonial. For many years, my lower back pain was becoming a serious problem. The short story is, I finally gave it a try, and now I'm out of pain too. So if you're in pain, you can order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com.
This is Stacy on her motorcycle.
What an incredible view!
And this is Stacy off her motorcycle.
Does this have sucralose in it?
On her motorcycle.
Oh, the wind in my hair!
Off her motorcycle.
It's pronounced etc., not etc.
On.
Woohoo! Yes!
Off.
No.
You're better on your bike. And with basic policy starting at $75 a year, quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Hey there, folks. A little Casey and the Sunshine Band for you. I'm talking to the author of What Men Want to Say to Women But Can't, Denise McAllister. And I want to say, folks, if you're listening to this program before February 11th, that means you need to pre-order the book. That is really important for the success of a book. And this book is way too important not to be a success. So if you're thinking about getting it and you hear this before February 11th, please pre-order What Men Want to Say to Women But Can't. Denise, tons to talk about. The cover of the book is a picture of you, and you look very feminine and attractive. I know that you did that on purpose. Notice you're making a statement here. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
I am, and I had to wrestle with my publishers about this because it looks very memoirish. But I do actually have a lot of personal stories in my book.
Yeah.
Because I think you connect to people ultimately through stories as well. But it is a defense of femininity as well as a advocacy of masculinity. And, you know, the picture is, you know, that you can be sexually attractive, and I don't mean that in a alluring way, but in a way that's very feminine. And that we don't have to be hard and masculinized as women, but we can be what God has designed us to be the softer sex, as Shakespeare said, and be complementary to the masculine in that, and find joy in that, and connection in that, and love in that.
Well, it's interesting to me that the title of your book is What Men Want to Say to Women But Can't. You obviously are a woman, so you can say it. And so I think a lot of men are going to be buying this book because they want someone to be their voice on these issues. And you really have an uncanny understanding of this. You know, I've read your stuff over the years. And it is so important that men and women both hear this. Because, again, if you want to really screw up women, harm men, and then you'll screw up women. If you want to screw up men, harm women, and you'll screw up men. I mean, there's no way out of this, that we are in this together.
Oh, we were designed that way.
Yeah.
You know, Eve was made for Adam, and Adam was made for Eve to have her as company and to be a companion in this world. And that's not only just in the marriage relationship, but that's in society as well. We need each other in this true strengths that we each have. And when we abandon who we are and our purpose and our identity as designed by God, we create a vacuum. And we also create competition when there shouldn't be any. And when the more I try to be like a man, I'm putting myself at odds in a power dynamic with man instead of as a complementary relational person who's working toward a common goal with man. And that common goal is mutual affection and love, as God says. And I don't mean mushy love, Hollywood kind of love. I'm talking about hard love of, you know, living in this world, living good, righteous lives, you know, being good stewards of this planet, raising children, creating, discovering, inventing. I mean, all the glories that God has given us to live in this world can only be accomplished in the freedom that we desire when men and women are working together as their designed selves and their designed identity as men and women.
Even when you talk about love, you realize we're living in a feminized society because we have defined love down into this mushy, romantic concept. When you think of Jesus, the ultimate example for any Christian of love is this man's man living and dying self-sacrificially. That's the ultimate definition of love. So when you define love just as this romantic feeling, you've really destroyed our ability even to have a conversation on what it means to love. We're finished with this hour, but we're going to continue. That's the good news, folks, with Denise McAllister. The book, grab a copy, whether you pre-ordered or get it. Please get a copy. What Men Want to Say to Women But Can't. Super important.
Just all right.